Psalm 84. I don't know about you, but there's something about the Psalms that captivates my heart. In God's writing, we have, as He uses men to write, it is the outcrying of the soul often that we see in the Psalms. So this evening, I'd like to for us to examine Psalm 84. We probably could do it in a little more detail, but I'm going to try to stay in the time allotted. But as we do so, to contemplate who God is, how He reveals Himself, and the glory that is God, and our right relation with Him. Psalm 84. Let's read through it. You can follow along as I read, please. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessing. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's bow for prayer and ask God's help to understand His word today. Gracious God, by your mercy and by your power, you have brought us here. Father, we thank you for who you are, for the demonstration of your love and your power and of your might. And as we delve into your word, unfold it for us this evening. Help us to not only grasp the concepts, not only to see who you are, to see our right relation to you, but I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be stirred to view your beauty. And Lord, may it change us. May we not deal with you as we have in the past, but Father, as we continue, may we do so in love and devotion. For you are God, only God. May you be gloried in our time today. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So he uses this phrase, how blessed or blessed, if you are leaning toward the Old English, I guess. What does it mean to be blessed, to be happy, to be satisfied? In our lives, what does it mean to come to this point of having our complete satisfaction found in God? As we walk this life, if we indeed are followers of Christ, as we walk this path that He has laid out for us, there are many things competing for our attention. There are many things that would offer themselves to us to satisfy us. Immediately we think of bad things, but not all of them are bad. Some things are good, and they desire our attention so that they might satisfy us, but those things aren't God. We have here a psalm that presents God in several different ways. The psalmists here, as they write, are skilled in bringing out attributes of God by the words that they use, and sometimes those words are unfamiliar to us. We're going to see God portrayed in several different ways, but in each one of those ways, He reveals the character of himself that we might rightly respond to him. Let's begin. We're going to look at Psalm 84, verse 1, and it says, "How lovely are your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." We come to this point. How much love, maybe a different paraphrase of this, is your dwelling, Yahweh? Because notice it's capital O, L, capital O, capital R, capital D is how we, our English Bible, will translate the name of the of God, Yahweh, the given name to Israel. How much love is your dwelling, Yahweh of armies? That's what hosts mean, okay? It's not just a throng of people. Suddenly, we are called, the psalmist is saying, "I love your dwelling, great commander and God over armies." Which is kind of a strange juxtaposition. Okay, well, armies, military, you know, the U.S. military is good at breaking things and killing people. That's their job. Okay? They're not to do anything else. They are good at those things, and they need to be for our safety, but we often don't think, okay, I want to dwell in a place because it's happy and it's loved, full of military. Okay? We go there when we seek safety, yes. We go there when we seek a security, but we don't think of the word lovely. And here the psalmist says, "You, God, who are the one of armies and hosts, where you dwell, is lovely." Lovely. See, there is a blessedness with being near God. And we're going to look at this all throughout this psalm. We have this. And the very first thing that we see in the first four verses is that you and I are blessed by being near God. Look how the psalmist says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord." A longing, a yearning. Now that is something that we speak of here, a craving, a desire that is so strong that it's almost in desperation. Yearning is a desire strong, so that I'm at my end if I don't have it. So there's a desperation in craving, a desperation in yearning. He says, "I yearn, I long for the courts of the Lord." Now here's another picture. The picture of the Lord here, again, notice how it is, Yahweh. So we have him as a mighty God of armies. And usually the one who is leading armies is on the march. Next is the juxtaposition of, yes, ruling a mighty God, but of courts. Okay, we think of regal, of a court. We don't have that king system here in the U.S. But if you understand that, you think of a court, of a pomp, and of circumstance, and of great things, and great respect, of bowing and curtsying, depending on who you are. And so you come to this point, and you think, his soul longed in desperation for this nearness of God, even yearned, he had to have it for the courts of God. And then he says, "My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." And then he goes to verse 3. "The bird also has found a house, a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even your altars, Lord of hosts, my King." Look there. So there's a declaration of his attitude toward the... Oops, a little too fast there. A declaration of attitude toward the place of where God is. He's longing. Okay, he's yearning. His heart and flesh sing for joy. So not only is he yearning and longing, his heart rejoices when he's with God. And for the living God, yet another, we won't go down that avenue too far, but understand this is the God who's living. It's not the God who's dead. And so we have this declaration, a longing and craving for God himself. But in verse 3, interesting, found a house. Now, I went and I Googled. Here we go. Of all the places people could, birds could build a nest, there's the red light, and then, actually, I think that's actually a hat. I don't think she stood around here, the lady with the bird on her head. But birds build places in the different, in the oddest places. And I was thinking of, and I, I had a memory. I had to go back through my photos. And I remember being at the Western Wall. You can see the people below it. It was the huge wall. Of course, it's the Dome of the Rock above. And so this is where the Jews will pray here at this wall. And they'll put prayers on papers and they'll stick them in. But I remember there a bird. And so I'm going to play this for you. Videoing. Sorry, voices. See the bird? If you didn't see the bird, I've got something for you. Instant replay. He's coming. Under the instant replay. There you go. See him? Yeah. And look where he is. Pause. Freeze frame. And here on this wall, this bird has found a place to reside. Now, this is not at the altars. Okay? This is here in the future, 2,000 years or so past the time of sacrifice. But here it is. The bird found rest. And the image here that Psalmist says, it found a house, a swallow, a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You ever thought about it in the terms of God being your nesting place? Maybe you've had the experience of coming, and it must have been 2 or 3 years ago, we had a flower arrangement on the front door. And so I think it was William. He walked out the door, and the bird had made a nest in the flower arrangement on the door. As he opened the door, the bird flew in, and immediately just flew back out, and I was standing there with him, and we both jumped. Because we were frightened by... It seemed like a safe place. Unlike the front door, unlike this, the safe place for the believer is with God. And this is the picture that he desires. The one who is near God. The one who desires to be in a nesting place of safety. And that place is before the God of hosts. And look, again, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, of armies, my King and my God. You start to see the picture of who God is, of how great He is and how there is safety in Him, and how He calls us to be in His presence. There's no more blessed place than the presence of God. There is no more secure place than the presence of God, your King. And he follows up in verse 4. He follows that up. Not only is he declaring his attitude, his safety found in God, and he says here, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising Him. The result of being near God is praise. The result of being in God's presence is a joyful, thankful heart. You know, praise is the barometer of our hearts. Ever thought of that? You know, you have the... yesterday we were... officiated a wedding up in Asheville. And as the time arrived... It was outdoors, by the way. As the time drew closer... I was checking the app on my phone and noticed that weather was coming. And as it said the rain will begin in 3 minutes, I began to feel the drops as I started my charge. And so, as one of the guys who works for Vicky said, I think we got the accelerated version of that. I said, yes, you did. And where there's clouds, often there's rain. Well, there's always rain. But there's always clouds when you have rain. You may have clouds without rain. But the rain of our heart is praise to God. It convicted me when I looked at this. That I thought, do I long to be in God's presence? Am I longing to be with Him? Am I longing to be not only in His physical presence one day, but day by day, in His Word every morning, and meditating upon Him throughout the day as I go about my business? Do my law. The spiritual blessedness that comes with spending time in God's Word is something that the believer, the follower of God, must have. It is necessary. Yes, it's necessary for security and safety, but it is necessary for the joy of our own hearts. My heart does not sing for joy. My flesh does not sing for joy in the living God if I have not been spending time in His presence. If I have not come to pray, if I have not come to spend time in His Word and to hear what He has to say to me through His Word, then I'm not going to have joy. I'm not going to have praise. Communion with God fulfills the longing of my soul. It takes time. It takes effort. We have to crave time with God like we crave other things in life. Do you long for God? Does your barometer indicate praise? He continues. This really is the nearness of God and the blessedness of God. But next, we see something different. Not sure what happened there. The strength from God is not limited to physical space. Number two. So, we have the psalmist saying, the courts of God, the house of God, I want to be there. But we can't always, in this economy of the psalmist, he's not always able to be in the temple. Okay? He's not always able to be in the temple. They would come. Maybe you lived 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 miles from the temple. Three times you were required, the men were to come to the temple during a year. But you didn't spend. You had a life back somewhere else. You had fields to tend to. You had animals to take care of. And the next passage here, from 5 to 7, reminds us the strength from God is not limited to a physical place. So we come here to church. That's not, in this economy now, it's not where God always is. He's everywhere. Verse 5, how blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. This is the travel theme. Verse 6, passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. And the early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, before God in Zion. That's interesting. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. I got that. But in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Notice with that command to go to the temple, they would visit. And they would stay there physically for maybe a week at times. Maybe 8 days if they were in Jesus' time celebrating Passover and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 more days past Passover. But they would go home. But God's sphere of influence and safety was not limited to Jerusalem. And being blessed of God is not limited to the physical place. And it's not limited, the nearness of God is not limited only in our physical safety. Look at the words here in verse 6. Pass into the valley of Baca. And there, the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rains covers it. It's a little uncertain for the location of that place today. It could be representative. Baca is very similar to the same word, a slight point difference to the word for to weep. And some have suggested that the psalmist is saying, in the valley, even the veil of the valley of weeping, the one whose heart is set toward God turns that valley of weeping into a spring. But there's a contrast between weeping. There's a contrast between those things. But it gives us the understanding that that person who has been near God, who there in the temple has worshipped God, as he leaves, the work of God continues in his heart and life. The work of God is in the heart and life. And where they go, it's as refreshment to others. In a very dry and arid place, rain is of a premium at times of the year. They need the rain. They need a spring to well up. And the traveler who travels back after being in this time the presence of God, they take with them joy. They take with them strength and refreshing to others. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God to Zion. This is also an interesting phrase. The Hebrew here is, yes, the abstract is strength, but it also can denote a rampart. And that, again, in and of itself is a strength, a defensive strength. If you go, and I want to do this sometime, the next time I go back to Jerusalem, on the walls, not all the way around, but on the walls, you can see on the right side, there seems to be between the path a place to walk. Here's a better place to see it. And you can walk around many parts of the old city of Jerusalem on these paths. You take a tour, it's not. It's 16 shekels, that's not much. 4 shekels to a dollar, usually. That's not much at all. But you can, if they take water, and once you get on, it's going to be a while before you get a restroom. So take water and take care of yourself before you go there. But you walk around, you can look over and see the one there. Our hotel is kind of like to the right, to the left back of that. But you walk around and you see there. And here's ramparts were part of the defensive strength for a city or for a castle. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appears before God in Zion. It speaks of the traveler who goes in the strength of the Lord. Goes in the strength of the Lord. This is something that we need. This is something that we must have. In fact, he'll expand upon this strength. They go from strength. Every one of them who appears before Zion as the joy and peace that come from the nearness of God continues with us on our day. And you and I, physically, are not always going to be able to sit down with the Word of God throughout our day. But it's in us and with us as we go from place to place. And it provides the strength. It provides that which we need for our lives. And what a regulator the Word of God is in our hearts and lives. How we face the day, how we receive things that are disappointing or things that are, frankly, frustrating our lives. The regulation of God's Word and have being with God is a defense for us and a care for us. And the joy goes with us. But he continues. The next section, 8 through 12, reminds us that we may be at rest and be satisfied. He brings again several metaphors here for us to understand. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts. Again, back to that armies. Okay? Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah, or the word Selah is to rise or to pause. Armies of God? The Lord of the army? Listen to? Now, if you're a private in the army, you don't have the ear of the generals, or you don't have the ear of the commander-in-chief. You that's way above your pay grade. Okay? But look at the image here. Here's the psalmist, and we don't believe this is David. So this is not David the king speaking to God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. What a blessed thought to understand and to know that we have the ear of God if we are his child. He continues, behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. And the word shield is a word that can be used as a ruler or a king. To behold, look on him, the one that you have placed here for us. So this one, look and observe. And he says, and it's interesting that we use that because he's saying, behold, and we think about the idea of a protection for this one, and to look in favor toward this one. But he quickly shifts from that. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand on the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And here he gives a contrast. Standing and waiting, just near the house of God, right at the doorway, or the idea of dwelling and relaxing and resting in the tents of the wicked. See, as God reveals himself to us as we see him, we know that we can be at rest in him. And even standing and serving as we are now, that is sufficient for us because God himself is sufficient. The Lord God, Yahweh God, is a sun, verse 11, and shield. He's a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The idea of a sun and a shield. You know, there was an Egyptian god of sun. And he does. We never have a name for God in Scripture that says God is sun. But we have the understanding that God illuminates. He is light. We see that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The illumination of God. And so we have both light here and a shield of covering, of protection, as one would have on them. So the Lord God, Yahweh, the personal name of God, is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. Bestowing of that. The idea of grace is favor. We understand that. It's the name of our church. But we understand it's something that we don't deserve, but God gives us. Gives us his favor. The idea of glory is that idea of honor. And so he parallels this in the next passage there, the next verse. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord gives grace, he gives glory, he gives what is good, and he does not withhold it from the one who walks in uprightness. You ever thought about the goodness of God? The gracious favor of God. Our next breath is of him. We like to think that we control life, don't we? That we control our what's going on with things that are around us, and we get tense when we can't control those things. The Lord gives grace. The Lord gives honor and glory. No good thing, James tells us, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no shadow of variableness of turning. This great God is the Father, the one who gives all good things. And this one gives grace and glory to his own. I would rather receive grace and glory from God than to rest and wrestle things of my own. And he has a final exclamation in verse 12. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man that trusts in you. The man that trusts in you, Yahweh of armies, the one who looks to you and who seeks your presence every day, this one finds strength and rest, finds satisfaction, finds the pleasure of God. This one craves your presence, O God. This one desires spiritual nearness. And this one is blessed and happy. See, for us, we have to understand a couple things. All good things come from him. And if they do, God and only God must be your desire and your pursuit. God, only God. And as you think of that, we have to understand that my satisfaction can be found only in God. I am always disappointed when I try to seek satisfaction from someone or something other than God. At times in our life, we depend upon relationships to give us satisfaction. Oh, if this person would only, and maybe it's, you think it's romantic, but maybe it's just a relationship, a friendship, or a family. If only this person would deal with me this way, I would be at rest and satisfied. And it always pales in comparison to the satisfaction we find in God. See, the believer at the end of the day, God and only God must be your pursuit. God and only God can satisfy the longing in your heart. God who is the King. God who is committed to Israel. God who now is committed to those that are His children through Christ. God is their protector. God is your shield. God is the one who illumines your path. God is the one who gives you grace, who gives you glory. And God does not withhold any good thing from that one who walks uprightly. Everything that comes to the hand of the life of the believer is that which brings glory to God Himself and is good for our edification and for us. And this God, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, the King, the mighty God, is the one that we serve. So we must desire Him. We must long for Him. We must search for Him with all of our hearts. We must be satisfied with God and only God. Psalm 84. In the nearness of His presence, there is satisfaction. There is joy. Let us ever be praising as we are with God. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You are indeed the only wise God, that all good things are found in You. And Father, I thank You for Your great word. Father, for the comfort that it brings for us, for the instruction. And oh God, in my heart, in the hearts of those here that are listening, there are many things that strive and wrestle for our attention and for our satisfaction. And God, I pray that we would find our every satisfaction, our every desire in You. Lord, as You fulfill the longing of our heart, You will indeed tune our hearts to sing Thy praise. As we come to the fount of every blessing, as we find our nearness in God, Lord, You will pour out Your grace and glory upon us so that we might reflect You. Father, may we be people who long for You, who joy in You, that we may reflect the love of Christ, the goodness of God, and draw others to see Him, to love Him, as we love You, which in Christ I pray. Amen.